everybody, to the City Rev Life podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy, and we have Pastor Josh with us.
What's up?
We are in the third part of our series on apologetics.
Yep.
And just to give a very quick recap before we continue in our discussion today, we've been on the piece of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So the idea behind apologetics is defending our faith. And that can oftentimes feel a bit overwhelming and intimidating because we may not have the right questions. We may not have the right approach, all sorts of things. But with this series, we want to give you guys insight and instruction according to the Bible on what that is supposed to look like. So today we're going to make it even more practical and involve some scenarios and just some things to include while speaking with somebody while you're, you know, defending your faith.
Yeah, we're going to dive into some examples. Hopefully they're helpful to our listeners. I'm hoping that there's a good range here. So that way maybe you've experienced this yourself, but I think it's important to call our attention to something quick before we do that. Somewhat of a recap, but also just, you know, just adding to it as before we begin on the content we're going to discuss today. It says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you. I think that's important for us to recognize the wording that Peter is using there, because he's not saying always be prepared to give the defense. I think it's an important distinction, because I think when people start talking to us about our faith and engaging in what we would might call an apologetic conversation, we think we have to have the defense to the argument that they're trying to make. If they're bringing up the validity of the Bible, right? We think then our responsibility is then to be able to lay out an entire defense on the Bible in that moment and say, okay, well, let's sit down. Here's manuscript evidence. Here's archaeological evidence. Here's prophecy in scripture. And we start trying to think that we need to build this case, build this argument on the spot. But no, I think what Peter's trying to get us to see and encourage us to do is to have a defense ready. And I think the distinction there is know how to approach those conversations. Yes, know how to defend your faith, but you're not trying to make the defense to the argument that person might be bringing, but just a defense, how to engage in those conversations. So here's just some examples. I got three scenarios.
Okay.
All right. First scenario, a high schooler or maybe your high schooler says, I don't believe in God anymore. It's simply not rational. There is no proof. I think that's something I've heard it before. I'm sure being in student ministry, you've heard that before. Yeah. And sometimes since it's coming from a high schooler, it's like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's out of left field. You're talking to them about their favorite restaurant. And then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, I don't believe in God anymore. Second scenario, someone at your workplace says, who are we to say Christianity is better than any other religion? I think the essence of Jesus's teaching is love, which is the same as all religions. A lot of assumptions there, but I've heard that in the workplace before. I'm sure that is a common one, right? That's a very South Florida religious view, right? Where they kind of just want to do their own thing. And so they just put all religions in a box and they have an opinion on them. Third scenario, a neighbor or a friend notices you carrying a Bible and says, I've read the Bible before. It's got some interesting stories, but people take it too seriously, right? It was only written by men after all, and men make mistakes, right? Or maybe it's like, yeah, it's got some great stuff in it. You know, there's some good sayings, but there's also a lot of bad sayings, right? So like, you just got to take it with a grain of salt. You know, they're kind of belittling the Bible.
Yeah.
There's some ignorance there, right? But they're just, they don't take the Bible seriously. I think that's also something that we've heard often. And so what happens there in those moments when in any of those scenarios, someone makes a comment like that, you may or may not have much time to even discuss it with them. You know, I think of a high schooler saying that might be in passing, knowing them. a neighbor making a comment about seeing you carrying a Bible, or they know you're a Christian, they heard you're a Christian, they saw a bumper sticker on your car or whatever, and they make a comment like that. A lot of times these things are in passing. They're not necessarily looking to engage in a conversation with you about it. And it goes back to a previous episode where we talked about the sea ice versus icebergs, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Chances are, if they're making a comment like that to you, knowing who, if you're, I'm assuming they know you're a Christian, that's why they're saying it, or they're seeing something in you, that's why they're saying it, which is what Peter says. When they see it, be prepared to give a defense for it. You might not have much time with them. And so we need to take that into account whenever we're looking to engage in apologetic conversations. So there's three steps that I want us to have in our minds when a comment is made like that. And then maybe they're legitimate, like, hey, can I sit down with you? This is how I feel. This is what I'm thinking. I'm sure those are, in my experience, I don't know about you, but that's a little bit more rare, where they're like soul searching and they want to sit down and actually talk to you about it.
Yeah, so I experienced that recently, actually this past weekend with my wife. And I had visited her because she was at a women's conference for her family's church. Mm-hmm. And we were at a restaurant at the venue that they hosted the conference. And there were these men who came and passed by. They asked us, hey, like, why are you guys here? And then I had shared with them, well, I came to visit my wife. She's at a women's conference. And then they were like, oh, for a women's conference for what? Like, what do you guys believe in? And we're like, oh, like, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus. And then they had made the comment of like, oh, Christianity? Oh, that's all about self-empowerment. And initially I was like, okay, obviously that is a misrepresentation of what we believe, but it was more so in pass by. Mm-hmm. So how you were talking about like kind of discerning if people make a comment, or when people make a comment, but it's in pass by, is it worth like continuing a conversation or just kind of bypassing it?
That's
so
good.
How what would have been the right way to respond in a moment like that?
Yeah, that's great. I think first you need to identify if there's a moment, if there's an opportunity for a conversation, right? And in a moment like that, in a passing conversation or a passing statement that's made, sometimes there really isn't an opportunity. And honestly, let's not belittle the opportunity there for us to just pray for that person as they're walking, as they're leaving that conversation, right? Let's not belittle that opportunity. At the same time, if there is an opportunity to engage in a conversation, I would say there's three things that we should have in our minds, three steps that we could take that might begin that conversation, but it doesn't force it. And I think it's important for us to remember we have faith in Jesus. We love God. We love Jesus. When someone makes a comment like that, sometimes our instinct is not to be ready to give a defense, but to get defensive.
Yeah.
We don't need to defend God.
Yeah.
He can do that himself, right? But we do want to be ready to give a defense. And we do want the opportunity to share our faith. We do want the opportunity to plant seeds. And so we need to have discernment on whether or not that's the right moment to do so. But those three steps, if you will, three things that I think we should have in our minds when a comment is made like that, and we think there might be an opportunity for further conversation, especially in those three scenarios that we painted out here for us today. Those three steps are: ask leading questions, mm-hmm. listen attentively, and love actively. And so the first one, ask leading questions. Mm-hmm. I think when we talk about being ready to give a defense for our faith with gentleness and respect, we talked about that in the last podcast, where that looks more like meekness and fear, respect for that person. One of the best ways we can approach with meekness and fear and respect is ask questions. It's obvious, right? It sounds simple, but we really do skip this step. We'll hear what they're saying and then go straight into either being defensive or trying to give a defense to what they have said. Mm. But remember, there's a high chance that this is an iceberg. There's a whole lot more happening beneath the surface for them to come to us with that question or to make that comment.
Yeah.
So we need to really understand where they're at
yeah.
before we can actually address it. The first scenario with the high schooler, some good questions might be, hey, how did you arrive to that conclusion? Or what do you mean by God? What kind of God do you reject? Like, depending on where this person's at and who this person is, where you're at, you might need to ask a question that's way more broad like that. Or it's, what specifically is irrational about believing in God? What kind of evidence have you found to believe that? You're seeking a little bit.
Mm.
Their response might be, oh, well, actually, you know, I do believe in God, but like just not that one. Mm. Okay, well, now we're in a completely different conversation. But if we had started responding to their first statement, we'd be completely off base and it would be useless. It would be unhealthy, maybe, but also unhelpful. Second scenario, where we're talking about the workplace, someone, Christianity is like all the other religions. A good response would be, how did you arrive to that conclusion? Or why would the similarities be more important than the differences? Mm. They're leading questions. They're questions that's going to kindly push the conversation further. And they're questions that you're going to get more out of them, right? The third scenario about the person noticing the Bible, your neighbor, your friend, or whatever. Well, how did you arrive to that conclusion? It's always a great question to hear where they're at. You could also say, well, do you have any books at home you find truth in? Like, what is it, just no books in general? Does it sound crazy to you? Or, you know, Christians believe that the Bible was written by God. And wouldn't you agree that if you did believe a book was written by God, you would take it very seriously too? Mm. Great questions to start the conversation, hear where they're at, and dig a little bit deeper. That also makes them feel heard.
True, yeah.
It's important for them to know that you care, to know that you care about what they actually believe, what they're actually thinking, where they're actually at. It takes the pressure off of us a little bit because depending on the situation, the environment, the circumstance, the person, because if we have a relationship with this person, if this person's our son or daughter, if this is a friend, emotions might be high. It takes the pressure off a little bit and lets us hear a little bit more about where they're at and shows that we do care about them. Again, it keeps us from jumping to conclusions and rushing to answers that they're not actually looking for.
Yeah.
And then coupling it together with a second question is also helpful, again, because you're engaging a conversation with them and you're pressing in on their statement, looking for a response in a very kind way and gentleness and respect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think by asking questions, even asking follow-up questions, that care factor plays effect. And when they see that, I mean, I'm sure people can easily detect, oh, like, I just brought up something that's a bit kind of sensitive regarding religion.
Sure.
They automatically responding with, like, a defense, they can probably be like, oh, well, they just wanted to speak. They didn't really care about what I was talking about. And actually, they don't understand what I brought up.
Right.
But definitely asking questions, it peels the onion.
Yes.
Kind of. You get right down to the source of what is it that they're asking? What is it really their concern?
Yep. And then the second step is just as obvious, but just as important, because we tend to skip this as well when we engage these conversations, is listen attentively.
Mm.
Listen to their response. If the emotions are high, if we're getting defensive, if we're getting angry, you know, emotions start running and we don't know what we're going to say. And we're sitting on the first question they asked. No matter what we say in return, if we do ask leading questions back, while they're answering, we might be thinking about how we're going to argue them.
Yeah.
We might already be thinking about what we're going to say before we've even heard their answer. That's not loving. That's not kind. It's just our tendency because we want to either defend our faith or convince this person otherwise, right? And so listening attentively is important for us to in order to have a healthy conversation, a healthy apologetic conversation with somebody. You can't have one unless we're listening well, we're listening attentively. So that high schooler, as you hear them explain where they got that thought or that conclusion or that belief in God, suddenly, yeah, you might hear that, oh, they heard a friend say that, and they made some rational statement to them, mm-hmm, about it. And so now they've just kind of adopted that belief. It's an empty belief. Okay, now that you know that helps guide the conversation a little bit, mm, right? They might have picked it up from the internet, you know? And so there, it's kind of a baseless belief. Or maybe they've done a lot of research and they're really wrestling, they're really struggling. In which case, okay, they are wrestling with the existence of God. Okay, let's have that conversation. The second one about the coworker, maybe they reference an article on the internet. They send you a YouTube video. They reference a TikTok video, right? It's like, oh, okay, now I understand where this conversation should go. I'm understanding how they got to that conclusion a little bit better. The third scenario, you know, have they read the whole Bible? Because I've had those conversations before where they're like, I don't believe in the Bible. And I'll be like, oh, have you read it from cover to cover? I've had that conversation before. Okay, well, let's start there. You know, what was your experience like? And then sometimes, probably more likely than not, it's like, no, I've never read it myself. I heard someone say that once, you know? And okay, hey, can I show you some passages in the Bible? It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. Yeah. And just you get to hear where they're actually at, which helps you guide the conversation. Notice, none of this has to do with, all right, guys, let's all study our defense for the validity of the Bible and study the way we can prove Jesus existed, he died and rose again. Like, none of that. Like, it's important for us to do that, to know those things, to study it ourselves. But when you're engaging in apologetic conversations, it's not about coming with a bunch of ammo, like being ready to go. It's just about being conversational,
yeah,
loving, respectful, yeah, encouraging, and being someone that they want to talk to. You want to engage in those conversations with them.
Yeah.
And then the third step is, wait, love actively.
I wanted to ask about the listening,
yeah,
actively step. Is there such a thing where you're intentionally listening, mm-hmm, like you're making the effort to listen,
mm-hmm,
and two things can happen? Or it's like you're listening, but you don't understand what they're saying.
Yes.
or you're listening.
Yeah.
You understand what they're saying. You understand where they're coming from. But after they're done speaking, you don't know how to respond back.
Yeah. Those are great scenarios. First one, I would say ask more clarifying questions, because that definitely happens. And even tell them that, hey, I'm not understanding. I'm not seeing how you arrived to that conclusion based off what you're telling me. Mm. Give me more. I want to know. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
You just show them how you care. That's part of the loving actively too. It's showing them that you care. You care about where they're at and what they've been through. Because their answers also might be, you know, I just what I've gone through. How could there be a God with what I've gone through? Okay, whoa, we're not trying to prove God's existence anymore. We're trying to love on them through what they're walking through. Mm-hmm. We're going to show them who God is. We're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus in that moment. So the conversation shifts completely. If someone's clearly done their research and they've got a full, like they came ready to debate, and you're like, oh, I did not know that you were ready to like fully debate this, and you don't have an answer, there's nothing more humble, meek, respectful than saying, hey, you've clearly done your research. I love that. That's incredible. I don't know what to say to that, but I can start looking into it. I'm going to research that. So thank you for bringing this argument to me. Do you want to have another conversation? Like, maybe we could get together next week and talk more about it, because I got to do some studying. This is great. That's going to blow someone away, right? When you truly believe you have truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then it doesn't matter what arguments you throw up against it. It's truth. It's going to stand on its own. So you're not ever worried about not being able to prove it, and you don't need to prove it then and there. That's also part of loving actively. One of the best ways you can love on them is just playing the long game. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to convince them there in that moment. You're not even trying to convert them. You're just loving on them, and you want the opportunity to have those conversations. And God willing, depending on where they're at in their journey, maybe you are the person to pray a prayer of repentance with them and mm-hmm. faith in Jesus. Maybe you get that blessing. But you might also just be someone along the way in their journey as they're wrestling with who God is. So that's part of just loving actively, is how you continue those scenarios and how you continue those conversations. And then the other way you can best love them too is recognizing that depending on where they're at in their journey, and maybe even they are believers, but they're wrestling with some questions, there might be some discipleship opportunities as well. Discipleship is what we're called to, right? Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Discipleship is best described as just recognizing where that person's at, identifying what a next step could be for them to take, and then helping them take it. This person has faith, but they're wrestling with suffering in the world. Or they don't have faith, and they're wrestling with the existence of God. Okay, those two scenarios, their next steps are very different. Let's identify what a next step would be, and let's walk alongside them and help them take it. It's simple, but that's what we're called to. It might be someone that's like wrestling with who Jesus is, but is basically there and putting their faith in Jesus. They have just a few more questions that help them place their faith in Jesus. Like, that might be their next step. And the question becomes, hey, what's stopping you from putting your faith in Jesus today? Because you know they're right there. They've been wrestling for a long time. And if they're far from it, their next step is just keep asking questions. And I want to be here to help answer them. And it's as simple as that.
Wow. I think for the people who have been in apologetic-like conversations mm-hmm. and they've implemented this, mm-hmm. they've asked the questions, they've listened attentively, they've sought out discipleship opportunities.
Yeah.
And then they kind of self-analyze the conversation, the relationship, mm-hmm. and they find themselves thinking, man, have I been asking the right questions? Mm-hmm. Have I been providing the right responses? Have I been doing this right? Because I can see, like, man, I said this and I shouldn't have said this. Not that it didn't come from an unloving approach, sure. but just like it wasn't articulated correctly.
Yeah.
It was misunderstood. But yeah, they just, as they analyze, they kind of doubt.
Yeah.
They feel kind of discouraged of
sure
how they've approached.
They feel like they didn't do a great job.
They feel that yeah. they didn't do a great job.
No, I think that's where the humility comes in, the meekness, the gentleness side. Go back and say it. Go back to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. I feel like that came across poorly, or I feel like I said that wrong. And here's what I really meant, because I really do care about you and this conversation. So I just wanted to, maybe you've never thought about it again, but I just wanted to make sure that we're okay, or I want you to know how I really feel, or what I really think, right? Man, when people see that humility in somebody, that's an apologetic in itself, because that's otherworldly. And that's what Jesus would do. No one in this world would.
That's good. Well, before we close, any last words you want to share with our viewers?
No, just to reiterate again, it's asking leading questions. It's listening actively. Listening attentively mm-hmm. and loving actively. I think with those three steps, we can all engage in healthy, fruitful, apologetic conversations with people.
That's good. Thank you, Josh. Yep. Well, guys, we've reached the end of our discussion. Please like, please subscribe to the City Rev Life podcast and share it with your friends. We would appreciate it a lot. But we'll see you back next time on the City Rev Life podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to the City Rev Life podcast. feel free to subscribe and leave a rate and review. We love it when you share with your friends on social media, so don't forget to tag us at cityrev.church. If you're interested in more resources, download our City Rev Church app and follow us on social media. Have a great day.